Tibetans have a term called the clear light of reality. And in a sense, some people try to establish a metaphor that goes into movies and cinema, which I think is worth referencing. Movies are still images on a piece of film. Nowadays, of course, they're digital images. And the metaphor complicates. But as movies, still images, 24 frames a second passing in front of a projector, which goes on and off, so it's light, dark, yin yang, if you will. It's just still images. Animating those images, and we would not be able to see them or know them without it, is a projector. It is a clear light shining through these yin-yang images, projecting onto a screen that you might call reality. Certainly it is a screen that catches our attention. We see something appear and we go like that. And those images can hold our attention or not. If they are invested with something you might call story or character or beauty or ugliness or repulsiveness, one way or another, those images impact us. And we begin to forget about that which is projecting them and get very caught in the image itself. We could call that image life. And the story of life comes from a source that we do not know, but seems related to the clear light that is shining through it. It is arising. These stories arise and are projected into our field of vision and experience. And our life is a relationship with those images. The end of life, according to Tibetans, is a journey back into the clear light of reality, a withdrawing from the images and looking back at the source. But they say very specifically, very few people can handle that experience, that vision of such blinding clarity, that for most people it lasts that long. Gone. At which point, the journey into reality gets enfolded in still more imagery. Much of it possibly derived from the memory banks of having watched this projected experience called life. And so we are journeying back, maybe in something equivalent of a dreamscape, and the Tibetans call it the bardo state, which is a gradual unraveling until one can slowly perceive once again the clear light. That unraveling is kind of timeless and spaceless, and yet we invest it with our mind energy with enormous senses of time and space and imagery and stories, both attractive and repellent. This is a model. I'm not asking you to buy it. I'm just telling you, it's a model that the Tibetans present, which is interesting because we don't have a lot of models. Our religious iconographies present different stories and narratives about what life is and what death is. Many of them have the quality of myth, of fairy tale, of hope for something extravagant and fantastical. In a way, it's up to everybody to buy into the model that works for them. One of the experiences of evolving spiritually is the disintegration of all models. So that everything someone who teaches from a particular standpoint can offer you only works if it aligns with your sensibility and your sense of model. And if it doesn't, of course, you will move on to the person or the teacher or the priest or the rabbi or whoever it is that presents the new model that gives you a feeling of comfort and security and wisdom and knowledge and whatever it is you need to believe to hold on to this unknowable unfolding of something. I like the image of the clear light of reality. I don't like giving it a name particularly, but I sense in the day-to-day solitude of my being moments of witnessing that truth. It doesn't always look like light. It often looks like exactly what we're looking at. It has people and bodies and forms and issues and dramas and narratives and all of that stuff. And I look at it and I go, you know, being a filmmaker and a dramatist, I am aware of what you call inspiration, which is a magical experience of something forming in the abstraction of being and filtering through and suddenly finding a voice and moving its way onto some kind of form like a screen or a piece of paper or just a dialogue that you hold on to, but it comes in and you start to see something that wasn't there forming into something real. And then I have had the experience of having a real life in which some of these inspirations that come through start to actually activate in terms of how you live, in terms of where you live, in terms of the car you buy. They start to become manifested. And also a lot of my dream life has come through and turned into story that has been on paper and computer screen that was then lifted off of that and turned into something we call movies, which can play on these big, big screens and speak to millions and millions and millions of people. So something that was very abstract entered into the system as inspiration, evolving into story that could speak to millions. And I was privy to the entire process, at least to the inception, the manifestation, the delivery of this story. I look at story and I look at inception as being part of the same continuum. In other words, I am aware that what is also connected to the very source of being. That it never is far away. It is unfolding into something that has manifested life and energy, but it is also constantly reforming its moment-to-moment reality based on something that, in a sense, is being broadcast or delivered in some way to the psyche of every person. We are all, in a way, inspired. Some of us listen to the inspiration, some of us don't. Some of us get very caught up in the manifested realm that has been created and completely lose touch with that which began this process, which we call the Creator. If you can sit still long enough, regularly enough, in some practiced way, if you can let go of the story value, the drama, the narrative that is swirling around you, which is very compelling, long enough to just shut that down and just get quiet, you will feel, as I speak about almost regularly, a rising into silence and into light. Something clarifying, something that clears the way, something that takes you and draws you upward, and in a certain sense, feels like going home. The extraordinary nature of this light is that it exists, in a sense, beyond and above, and it is something one rises up into. It's also something you can enter through your portals, like your heart, and go deep, deep, deep inside, and it brings you to the same uplifting quality. Silence, focus, stillness are really key ingredients in allowing yourself to move beyond the day-to-day drama of your life. Why would you want to do that? Well, maybe you don't. For many people, life is an amazing experience. It is filled with things that make the journey completely worthwhile. You know, love, connection, otherness, touching, the physical manifestation of indefinable, unknowable projection that comes through and that becomes tangible is an extraordinarily addictive and compelling thing. Life is very powerful, but it also has within it a due date or a discard date when it falls apart. And it's a natural process, and it is something we all go through, but it is filled with something that Buddha called suffering. And it's filled with suffering because this manifested state is so compelling. It is so addictive. It is so filled with fascination, beauty, all of these things that we come to want to hold on to, and yet, to the degree that we squeeze them into our being, they still evaporate. And as they evaporate, we will experience loss. And so the great teachings essentially say, don't hold on. Be present with experience, touch, love, but do it in a way that frees everything rather than holds it. So that everything that comes through comes and goes, just like you do. Easier said than done. Most people get lost in the maze of manifested time and space reality. Most people do not see the flickering of the images that are telling the story that make up our lives. Most people have bought 100% into this temporary space that is already on its way out. trying to turn people into this inner vision and into this looking at the source and seeing the light coming through that animates all of this is hard to achieve. And yet people like me, other teachers out there, other religious leaders, spiritual people will say, stop what you're doing for enough time in the day to touch and feel this thing that is playing itself out in your mind and body, and that is beautiful beyond belief and corruptive in every possible way. And it is worth enjoying, it is worth touching, but in the end, the practice of letting it go is the journey back to the clear light of reality. And if you don't begin that journey while you're still alive, one, your life will become very discomforting in many ways, and you will not be prepared for the grand adventure of going back into that from which you have arisen. So I think a lot of teachers basically are here to encourage you or promote you to do this seriously. And also, I think, to guide you through it, to tell you how they've gone through it, what they're doing, how it's working for them. And I think some people do that. Some people simply buy into an idea and then try to sell you on the idea, whether they've known it or not. Some people preach the gospel because it's been passed on for generations and centuries. But the only ultimate teaching that will satisfy truly is what you learn on your own. Learning it from a teacher is nothing. It is an inspiration, perhaps, to do your work. Doing your work is to stop long enough and begin to look at what is. Look at the clear light of reality, both as it manifests itself in front of you and as it descends from some other plane of being and existence into this very materialized, physicalized space. Try to trust me when I tell you this is not as real as it appears, not as solid as it appears, not as dark and light as it appears. It is more like images passing through a projector, creating something that we have all found beyond fascinating. One can talk forever about what it means to be alive, what can gain out of life itself. It appears to be an enormous reason for manifestation to happen. You know, I talk about this, I don't know how often I talk about it, but probably way too often. The idea that manifestation is God or universe trying to look at and know and embody itself. We are that embodiment. We are the expression of something that is not knowable, trying to know what it is. You can buy that or not buy that as an explanation, but to me, it kind of explains it. On the other hand, don't just be the materialization of the universe, be the source of it, because that's what you are. Find the way back to the light. It means just turning around and looking inward from which that light emerges. Just look inside, be quiet, be still pointed, allow yourself to sit with that and see what happens. I will tell you, based on my experience over 50 years of doing that, that it is not always as easy as one would like it to be, that there are challenges along the way, that there are moments along the way where you want to say, okay, I've done it. Rudy used to joke about this idea. He said, you don't want to end up with your picture in Life magazine and your house up Schitt's Creek. In other words, getting a place and a foundation and a permanence in life that you think is yours, a celebration of somehow that you've arrived, and you build a house and you say, this is where I am. No, there is no stable, final resting place in this material form at all. This will ultimately internalize itself, disincorporate itself, and return to source, and that source that it returns to is never not present. You can absolutely touch source all the time. As a writer, I will talk to people who are artists, people who follow a deep intuitive instruction. You know there is something out there guiding you, directing you, helping you through this journey. It is there. The great thing about being a creative person is that you know you have touched creating and the creator that is part of that creating. It is exquisite. You can create new life. You can create the joy of a day. You can create a wonderful meal for somebody. You can create a happy birthday party that will make people feel like so grateful to be at a party. There's a million things you can do and make part of the beauty of life itself. And you can also give vent to some of the darker impulses of the human experience, which have a terrible side effect of clouding your vision and making you more and more unaware of the truth of being. That's called karma, bad action, ignorant action, a failure to hear the voice of that which is guiding you through life can create terrible side effects and dramas, and they can be really unpleasant. If you have fallen into that trap, the only salvation is to know you're trapped and to ask for help, to seek out guidance, to basically ask for the ability to be redeemed, with the redemptive wish, the redemptive action, to turn around the thing that has happened, to turn you around back to the light. It is possible. The light is available, shining through, projecting all of this. Even your story of falling angels is a story of redemption if you use it right. You can redeem who you are. It's never too late to do that. The great human stories are stories of people who have fallen and risen. I love the image of the clear light of reality. I love the idea that it is shining at all times. I love the idea that it's possible for human beings to witness it and for human beings to prepare themselves to return to it. Unfortunately, out of all the people I know in the world, very few people are conversant with what I'm talking about. Very few people have a clue. They're living their lives in terrible ignorance, really. I was going to use the word abysmal ignorance, meaning that they are caught up in human suffering and telling themselves stories up until the last second to try to make that suffering somehow bearable, which it's fine. The only problem is when it finally evaporates into what it truly is, if you have not trained your mind to open to light, you will just keep playing in the darkness that the bardo states represent. So if you're looking to be freed or liberated from the journey of illusion, turn inward, take the time, sit still, open your heart, ask for help, reach into this still pointedness, and let this inspiration of deep love and beauty come through you and animate the materialized aspects of your life. It's something we can all do. It's something that is why we're born, in a way, to bring that light into the world. It's your job, it's my job, it's our job. And the thank you that occurs for having lived it well is to return back to that source and feel reabsorbed by that from which you emerged. Pay attention to the clear light. Look for it. Seek it out. I will tell you there's a simple path called love. That is the manifestation of the light. Goodness is a manifestation of the light. And a sense of being true to yourself. These are pathways. Follow them inside. And if you sit still enough, just silence itself will lift you up into it. But you have to be a participant. You have to make the effort. You have to bring yourself to the table. Otherwise, you're just an automaton going through the day-to-day experience of manifested life without a clue to who you are or why you're here. Try to get on board. Anything to say?
Early on, you said that, well, maybe you didn't say it, but first of all, my sense is that Kundalini, the power of that is a big part of this, or maybe even the same thing. Is it another metaphor for the light, Kundalini? And that power itself is very frightening, simply because of its power.
Kundalini is an uprising energy. In its most positive aspect, I call it the energy of awe. Every energy I'm talking about is ultimately terrifying on some level because it all aims at annihilation of the thing we think we are. And that's where terror comes from. And we are biologically constructed beings. And we are trying to recognize that we are something even beyond that. And that our material form is a temporary gift. And the return to being light has to annihilate everything that isn't light. And not that our bodies aren't composed of light, not that our minds aren't composed of light, but it is a kind of structured version of that that thinks that it knows something that ultimately is misguided by the fact that we have a very small perception of a very large event. And that very small perception, it can only be expanded by the loss of the smallness. And if you can let go of what you think you know and what you think you believe and what you think you are, including the physical material entity that you believe yourself to be, if you can let go of that, not easy, and will bring about moments of terror, of absolute terror in doing it. But if you can be able to annihilate the image of yourself, you will see the truth of yourself, that which is being projected, that which is the projector of who you are and what you are, and then the realization that grows that you are that light, and that the littleness of you that you're defending is the obstruction of that, is the limitation on that. And it wants you to be that, it wants you to have, it's created us for some dynamic purpose. So this journey away from it, the journey into awakening, into clear light, is clearly not on the table for everybody. Because life wants to sustain the illusory nature of itself because it seems to revel in that expression. But for those who got to a point of saying, okay, I get it. You know, there comes a point where you're able to begin the journey out of the delusion, if you will. You know, there's the image of the wheel of life and death, you know, that spins around and people are caught on it for eons of time until you're not, until you finally say, okay, I'm done. I did it. I've been there. I get it in all of its forms. It doesn't completely satisfy anything. It's just, it has beauty and it has terror. It has everything. Once you've tasted it enough, you just go, Okay, and you enter into a different phase of being in relationship to the light. I believe they talk about liberation and freedom from all of that, but I'm not sure if it isn't just a profound acceptance that just is no longer in opposition to what is. The lack of opposition to what is changes the dynamic, and you just witness it with a kind of kundalini-like awe. You just go all the time, as much as you can. And the part that is not witnessing that, or the part that is struggling still, that's the part that you're gonna have to keep working on. That part of you that is hiding, fearful, believing in systems that are trying to protect it, you have to let go of all that stuff. You just let go, and you become so raw and so available and so thy will be done that you become, I guess what they call in this world, saintly. Somebody who's just working it out, really working it out. Most people are not working it out. They don't even know there's something to be worked out. They will go through life and death, life and death, life and death, life and death, birth and death, birth and death, over and over and over, according to certain paradigms. And at some point you go, okay, got it. And it's a really interesting experience, finally withdrawing from the compulsion of being in that space. You know, I'm an Oscar voter, and I have to, on my mind, watch all the movies in order to vote, because otherwise you shouldn't vote. And I've always been very good about it, because it seemed like a very special place to have arrived, to be one of the, to be a very small club, you know. And so the other night I'm watching the Oscar shorts, and I've seen most of everything else. And I'm watching these shorts, and I am going, these are the most depressing, awful, demeaning movies I have ever seen in my life. They were so horrifically dark. And I'm watching this and going, okay, I don't know why I'm watching this. The first one finished, and I just thought, I can't take another breath. I won't go into how horrific these things are, but then the next one came in, it was worse. And they had five of them. Four of them were children in horrific, horrific situations beyond understanding. And when the fifth movie came on and I started to see yet one more manifestation of this, I just said, I am done. And I turned it off. That was liberation. I am sorry that I saw those first four, because those films were, maybe they speak to the human condition, maybe life is as awful and horrific as they depicted. I think perhaps it is, but I was done watching. I had this power, and I really was grateful for it. I just said, nope. That's the only real power I have in life. I can either engage, be overwhelmed, be sucked in by the nature of the world, or I can go, nope. And it's amazingly liberating. I'm not voting for that category. I don't care who wins, because nobody wins. Life may be as dark and awful as they depict. I think on some levels it is, but there are other parts of life that are not that. And I, if I'm going to vote, I'm going to vote for joy and love and beauty and the connectedness of human beings, and that's what I'm looking at. And I know the other part goes on, and I don't in any way deny its reality. I think life sucks for many people in many ways, but I also believe that at the core of that suckiness, there are moments of real connectivity. I mean, again, I saw all the Oscar documentaries. Another world of deep, deep darkness. But even in the midst of some of these awful things, I saw really complex, perhaps really truly awful and deluded people loving their children. And children laughing and giggling. And I said, okay, I will move toward that. I don't pretend to know the why of the light and dark that are at play in our world. I don't pretend to know. I just know I have within me a passageway to a refuge that looks at all of it and can go, nope. And that's taken 50 years to arrive at, of practice. Nope. And there are days I struggle with that, because you have the world around you as a movie and you have the world that you live. And then you gotta go, nope. And I'm getting better at that too, because I have stuff that hits me at 4 a.m. I've talked about it in talks from long ago that are not always voices I want to hear. I've started going, nope. It's a great power. It's a great tool to just go, nope. So the more one can learn to develop that muscle, the more one can learn to let go, to open, to surrender, as Rudy would call. You know, you develop a capacity to live that allows for transformation and change. No matter how old you are, no matter where you are in your life, you can let go of everything, you can uproot, you can move on, and you can find the next reality, the next inspiration that's waiting to come through. And I am amazed at how much stuff is opening for me at this moment that comes out of letting go. Comes out of letting go. So I'm pushing an agenda here. And the agenda is very simple. I've talked about it for the last however many years on these talks, but basically it's just stop, sit, stay. That's my old teaching. Stop, sit still, stay, and let this thing that is being exposed within you reveal itself so that you can see it too. And it will be there. It's there in everybody. Just stop long enough to say, oh my God. You just feel it. I mean, it comes out, you know, it comes by walking down the street and suddenly the sunset or whatever it is, the rainbow. We have rainbows here all the time. It's like we don't have to do anything. They keep hitting. And you go after a while, you know, recognize it as a gift. It's a gift. Take the gift. Take the gift. Be quiet. Open up and see that no matter what's happening, it's coming from a place of transcendent beauty and truth, and it's for you. Period. End of story. Okay. Thank you. Next week we're in LA, and then we're back again. Is there a class next week? Did you? Okay, so there'll be a class here next week. We're in LA. And just endless gratitude to you guys for showing up. This doesn't happen if you aren't there. I mean, it can happen for me, but it wants to be shared. That's all I can tell you. So thank you for taking it.